Good evening. We're going to get started here. And thanks for coming out this evening. We have some interesting program we want to share with you. I think it'll be exciting. Now, they'll be showing the clips on the board each time the speakers get up to share. And I'll say more about that in way of introduction in just a moment. But let me ask you to stand with me, and we'll have... No, I'm sorry. Stay seated. And we'll have a word of prayer, and then we're going to show a video, and then we'll have a song. So if you have the bulletin, did everybody get one of the bulletins for tonight? And you can just follow along in there, and you can see you got the key words in there, and you've got the verses on the right-hand side connected with that in order. All right, let's have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your many blessings, your love for us. We thank you for just the opportunity to pause and to give some serious thought to Good Friday. And we're just reminded that that was the day our Lord and Savior was crucified, as predicted, as prophesied in the Old Testament. And we just thank you that we can pause in remembrance of that very special occasion. And I pray tonight that our hearts might be warmed, that we might be encouraged, that we might be challenged, and yes, that we might be convicted as we think about these seven statements that Jesus made while he was on the cross. And I just pray that you'll bless our time together, bless those engaged in sharing with us, bless our singing, and Lord, we just give you the praise and thanks that we could be here. We ask it in Jesus' name, in whose name we pray. Amen.
And put a scarlet robe on him, and then twisted together a crown of thorns and set it on his head. Then they led him away to crucify him. They came to a place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. There they offered Jesus wine to drink, mixed with gall, but after tasting it, he refused to drink it. When they had crucified him, they divided up his clothes by casting lots, and sitting down, they kept watch over him there. Above his head, they placed the written charge against him: "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." From noon until 3 p.m, darkness came over all the land. About 3 p.m, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Immediately, one of them ran and got a sponge. He filled it with wine vinegar, put it on a staff, and offered it to Jesus to drink. And Jesus cried out again in a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." When he had said this, he breathed his last.
You may have heard it said before that a person's last words sometimes summarize their life and show exactly how they lived and how they died. Sometimes we've maybe read common last words that somebody might have repeated. And sometimes we even might have repeated something to someone in their last state. Sometimes you hear somebody repeat, "I love you," or perhaps, "I'm going to miss you." And sometimes you might hear someone repeat, "Please forgive me." But let's think tonight what the last words of Jesus tell us about the way he lived and the way he trusted in God as his heavenly Father. And these readers are going to share, and if you'll follow along as your bulletin, they're going to share with you the key word and a thought as we reflect on the seven statements that Jesus made while he was on the cross on that Friday. Remember, he's on the cross, close to death during this time, and he repeats seven reflections, seven statements.
Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. Luke 23:34. Key word is forgiveness. When Jesus cries out in prayer to the Father God and asks them to forgive them, for they know not what they do, he is looking past the atrocity that these men are committing against him and seeing them as people. Jesus, who came to earth and continues to exist in heaven, is fully man and fully God. He fully understands the short-sightedness of the human condition. He can empathize with being sucked into evil and was able to see past the one act and address them as valued human beings. Jesus prayed for his enemies. Jesus teaches us that it's right to have a forgiving spirit. Like the Savior, we must refuse to let grudges and an unforgiving spirit devour us.
Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. Luke 23:43. The key word is salvation. This saying is addressed to one of the criminals crucified alongside Jesus. In this statement, Jesus expresses assurance and comfort to the repentant criminal. Despite the crucifixion's agony, Jesus offers this man hope and forgiveness. By saying, truly I tell you, Jesus emphasizes the certainty and truthfulness of his words. He assures the criminal that today, meaning immediately after their deaths, they will both enter paradise together. Paradise refers to heaven. Jesus' promise to the repentant criminal demonstrates his mercy, grace, and willingness to forgive even the most undeserving. It underscores the message of salvation through faith in Jesus Christ and highlights the transformative power of repentance and belief, even in the final moments of life. It's right to seek salvation by faith in Jesus' finished work on the cross, regardless of your past.
My God, why have you forsaken me? Mark 15:34 and Matthew 27:46. Key word, abandonment. Jesus uttered these words during his last hours. Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? They surely were heartbreaking to hear, but the disciples would have recognized them as a quote from Psalm 22, which begins with these same words. This moment is thought to be when Jesus completes a strange miracle on our behalf. He's crying out because he is experiencing separation from his Father for the first time. This is the only time we have a record of Jesus not addressing God as his Father. Jesus had taken the sin upon himself, and at the moment, the Father could not be with him. This moment is filled with mystery, as it's hard to fully understand how God's perfect Son, Jesus, was separated from God for some time on the cross so he could accept God's wrath for humanity's sin. Habakkuk 1:13 says, thine eyes are too pure to approve evil, and thou cannot look on wickedness with favor. God had to be separate from Jesus because he could not look upon sin, especially when it was being cast upon his very own Son. Jesus cries out in grief during this excruciating time.
Woman, here is your son, and here is your mother. John 19:26-27. The key word is care. The fourth saying of Jesus on the cross is recorded in the Gospel of John, specifically John 19:26-27. When Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved standing by, he said to her, woman, here is your son, and to the disciple, here is your mother. From that time on, the disciple took her into his home. This saying is significant for several reasons. In this moment, Jesus, despite enduring immense suffering himself, demonstrates his concern for the well-being of his mother, Mary. By entrusting her care to the beloved disciple, often interpreted as John, Jesus fulfills his duty as a devoted son, ensuring that Mary will be looked after in his absence. This saying highlights the humanity of Jesus, showing his compassion, empathy, and concern for others, even amid his own suffering. It exemplifies Jesus' teachings of love and selflessness, urging believers to emulate his example in caring for one another. Jesus teaches us that it is right to remember and care for our loved ones. This is godliness at home.
I thirst, John 19:28, and the key word is humanity. Jesus had a body. This may seem like an overly obvious observation, but sometimes it can be easy to forget that Jesus experienced real, unimaginable physical suffering. His deity did not negate his humanity. He fully experienced pain, hunger, and thirst. He expressed pain in his last words on the cross. He felt thirst. While it is heartbreaking to contemplate what Jesus would have felt during his last day, it can be comforting to remember that God empathizes with our physical suffering. He has not forgotten what it was like to feel his body's limitations. Exhaustion, pain, hunger, and thirst. He knows we have physical needs. In Matthew 6:25-34, Jesus reminds us not to worry. But one thing I love about this passage is that he doesn't say, "Don't worry because your cares don't matter." Instead, Jesus says, "Don't worry because your God already knows you need these things. He knows you have physical needs and is at work helping to meet them." Jesus felt physical suffering and therefore can fully empathize with the physical struggles we face as human beings.
In his sixth reflection, Jesus said, "It is finished." The full verse reads, "When Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, 'It is finished.' Then he, bowing his head, he gave up his spirit." The key word for this sixth statement is accomplishment. These are the final words and sayings from Jesus on the cross. The word Jesus uses here, "It is finished," means it is completed, was one which was also written on business receipts in the New Testament to show that a bill had been paid in full. Jesus is indicating that his work, his fulfillment of the scripture, and his life are the ultimate payment for our sins. He has completed his work on earth, and he has fully offered himself as the ultimate sacrifice in our place for our sins. He makes a declaration when he says, "It is finished," meaning that the debt of sin has been paid in full. Boy, that should excite all of us. Jesus had finalized the legal transaction, giving the Father the basis for providing deliverance for humanity from sin and the consequences of sin. In Hebrews chapter 9, verse 12, and also verse 26, it says this: He did not enter by means of the blood of goats and calves, but he entered the most holy place once for all by his own blood, having obtained eternal redemption. But now he has appeared once for all at the end of the ages to do away with sin by the sacrifice of himself. These words explain how Jesus became the ultimate sacrifice. So now the practice of sacrificing goats and calves was no longer necessary. And we're excited about that, amen. In his seventh statement on the cross, from Luke chapter 23 and verse 46, his seventh and last statement that he made on the cross, it says, "And Jesus called out with a loud voice, 'Father, into your hands I commend,'" or "I commit," or "my, I entrust my spirit." Saying this, he breathed his last. And teaching us the importance of surrender, Jesus' last words show that he desired to do his Father's will. Throughout his life and ministry, he worked to carry out the will of the Father. When Jesus is praying so fervently in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus asked the Father to take this cup of suffering from him, but then he adds, "Not my will, but yours be done." He was obedient to the will of God, and he accepted the suffering of the cross because he knew this was the Father's will for him. When Jesus then is hanging on the cross in his final moments of life on earth, he utters his last words of surrender to his Father. Jesus says, "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. Into your hands I commit," or "I entrust my spirit." Jesus entirely surrenders his body and soul to his Father. This is what we're called to do as Christians. Give ourselves totally to our Heavenly Father through Jesus Christ. Give ourselves to God. These last phrases give insight into Jesus' heart, into his mission, his experience, and his love for us. Each phrase teaches us about his ability to empathize with our humanity. They demonstrate his unwavering commitment to his Father's will and his complete fulfillment of the prophecies found in the Scriptures. As you prepare your heart to celebrate this Easter, let me encourage you to meditate on these seven phrases. You have the scriptures and the key words in your bulletin. Let me encourage you to look these up and between now and Sunday. Let's meditate on these seven phrases and let their message deepen your love for the amazing God that we serve. I was wondering as I thought about this and thought about sharing these thoughts, wonder what my last words will be at the end. Wonder what I'll say. I certainly hope that I would not be asking for forgiveness unless I'm talking to the Savior. I would hope I wouldn't be leaving that on earth, wouldn't you? But I would hope that I would be able to say at that time, I love you. I'll miss you. But I'm ready to go to heaven. I have a friend that was, he and his wife were members of my last church. They were retired Navy officers. Both of them were officers in the Navy. And Bill's father, Bill's about 6'7". They visited with us once a couple years ago. They have a little girl. He's about 6'6", 6'7". His father's taller than him. His father was a retired pastor. He lived in Florida. And he would come up and visit us. Bill and Melanie were stationed locally at the Pentagon and at the White House in their last years of service. And Bill's dad's name was William. I'd call him William. He preached for us a couple times. He was a good preacher, had pastored for years. He had retired to Florida, and he had a couple of congregations in some of the, RV parks. He would go there on Sunday and have a crowd, and he would, especially before the snowbirds went home, and he would have church with them. His wife passed away maybe a couple of years ago, but then William got sick this past summer, and he got worse and worse. And so Bill went down to Florida, and he moved his dad up here. Bill lives a little bit north on Route 1. Go up to the crucifixion, turn right. I think that's Telegraph Road, and he lives back in there, a nice home. But he brought his dad up, and he took his spare bedroom, and he just situated that for his dad. I've been sharing some of the things that he gave me, like the walker, Ethel, and we're going to get that recliner that he's given us also. So he gave me a recliner. He gave me a wheelchair. I was able to give the wheelchair to Norma. Barb and I were talking the other day. I said, I need to share with Bill what we did with all that stuff. He had some of those suction things that for those of us that need a little help sometimes for our showers. And so Barb and I used those. We put them in our new shower. And then we gave the walker. We gave a nice walker to Ethel. We have a recliner we're going to give her. I asked Bill, I said, what can I give you for these? He said, nothing, he said. And his dad was only with him about 4 months, and he bought the best for him. He took care of his dad in his last days. But I remember about 2 weeks before his dad passed, he was in Mary Washington Hospital, and I went down to see him. And he was very feeble, and we had a good time talking. And I just sat down there and chatted with him by his bedside. And he looked over at me, and he said, Mickey, he said, I'm ready to go. He said, I'm ready. I'm praying for the Lord to take me. He said, I'm tired, and I'm ready, and she's waiting on me. And just a couple weeks later, he passed away. But what a blessing. What a blessing for me. I was there to encourage him. But boy, I left there encouraged. I thought, Lord, I pray I have the grace to go in that way. And I felt like he could say at that time, I felt like he could say like Paul gave us in 2 Timothy 4, you remember that verse, Paul said, I've kept the faith. I have fought a good fight. There's another part of it I'm missing. Somebody help me. What? I ran the race. But the Apostle Paul, that was his last words. That was the last he wrote, the last we heard from Paul was 2 Timothy 4. Paul said, I have fought a good fight. I have kept the faith. And, I hope I can feel that. Wouldn't that be great to be ready to take your last breath and feel like, Lord, I've fought the fight. I've tried to stay faithful. But I'm ready to go. There's so much we can learn from these seven statements, each one in itself. And I do really encourage you just to read those over the next couple days. Because keep in mind, he's on the cross, and between 12 and 3, I believe it was, wasn't it, when the darkness came, but he's ready to take his last breath. And he just gives us these statements. And Sunday we're going to start in chapter 24. Pray for me Sunday. I'm going to try to cover the whole chapter 24 of Luke. We're going to do a running commentary. I'm going to try to run through it, but I'll try to pause occasionally. But at the end of that, you'll remember, Jesus, the resurrection Sunday. After the resurrection, you remember Jesus showed himself to different groups, and we're going to see him with the two Emmaus disciples we refer to, the two men walking. We think they were men. It might have been a husband and wife, many think. And you have the women in the beginning of that going to the tomb. But at the very end of chapter 24, the very end of that chapter, as Jesus ascends to heaven, it says in verse 50, then he led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. And while he was blessing them, he left them and was carried up into heaven. Can you imagine being there for that? The Lord is resurrected, and it has finally sunk in what he was trying to teach them. But he's done his work. He's done everything to make possible our salvation. And so he begins to ascend toward heaven. And it says, after worshiping him, they returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they were continually in the temple praising God. Refresh your mind and your heart over the next few days with these seven statements. Then let's come back Sunday, and we're going to celebrate the first Easter with Jesus and the disciples there. And I love the whole thought of the thing. This is this whole week and the whole day Friday, and we've gone over that schedule. The trials, the crucifixion, the persecution, and then the death. And then we'll finish Sunday morning with those last verses. Now, Dr. Luke, who gave us his gospel, he also wrote the book of Acts. And if you go right to the book of Acts, you'll see him talking again to the disciples. And along about verse 10 or 11, it says he begins to ascend up into clouds, his ascension. I've often said that Acts chapter 1, Jesus ascends back to heaven, back to glory. Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit descends from heaven and begins to indwell every believer. Great truth. Bible's good, isn't it? There's so much continuity when we just put it all together. So thanks for coming out tonight, and let's look forward to Sunday morning. If you haven't done so, invite somebody to be with you. We'll have a great service, and we'll look forward to celebrating the resurrection and celebrating the first Easter together.